for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. This is Loveline.
Loveline.
With Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
That's right, it's Loveline. Phone number here is 1-800-LOVE-191. This is Dr. Drew. He's Adam Carolla. He'll be calling in tonight and gracing us with his presence. But in his absence,
no.
Filling his amazing seat here is the great, the one and only Jimmy Kimmel and the amazing Sarah Silverman.
Thank you, Dr. Drew. It's good to see you. And, wow, what a treat to hear from Adam tonight on the phone.
I don't need to spend any time with him. Oh, Sarah. We never see this guy anymore.
I don't see him that much, actually. He's got his big TV show at Comedy Central. I'm sure he's calling in to plug that.
Too Late with Adam Carolla, which plays like four times a night, I didn't realize tonight.
It gets later and later and later.
Everyone listen to me.
You better believe it. But then there's one at like 4:30 in the afternoon, then again at like 9, again at like midnight. It's all down. So check your local listing. If you're at least on satellite, it was airing multiple times.
Right, but Adam only wants people to watch the one that's on at 11:30.
Okay.
The others are just gravy. That's all gravy.
Okay, so wherever you're listening to this show, 11:30 Comedy Central, that's when you watch.
So let's talk about a couple of things.
Yeah.
We're trying to get the phones working here right now.
Yeah, we have the usual technical problems again. So.
Sarah is in a very funny film, very, very funny film, called The Aristocrats. Sarah's having trouble right now getting her chair aligned.
It's ridiculous. Okay.
How do you describe what she just did?
You got it?
She mounted the chair.
The chair will only go up.
Sarah is not what you'd call hardy. Moments ago, she had a big problem with her nose. It didn't look like she was going to be able to go
on. We almost took her to the ambulance, to the hospital.
How do you explain it? But I know it's something that everyone could understand. I don't know.
Well, go ahead and explain
it. Tim Allen could do it. I don't know.
She grabbed her nose and screamed. But didn't just grab, you pushed up on it, like doing that pig thing. You pushed up on it and screamed. Yeah.
It's like a dryness that suddenly, like, the pain, it's not, it's
Jewish.
Whatever.
It's what it is. It's Sarah is Jewish.
That's what we're talking about.
And, all right, we have everything in order.
You know,
here.
Your relationship, you two, crossed a important threshold on this show. Do you remember that, Sarah?
Oh, that's right. Anal sex.
No. Close. That was a different time. Oh. That was actually on the show. No, you entered the fart phase. On the show.
That is right. We entered what I call the fart era. The golden era of farting. Well, it really ended there, actually.
It started that evening, it ended too.
Pretty much. I mean, Sarah farts still a lot.
No, I don't fart at all, Jim.
But that was not the issue. The issue was Jimmy feeling free to let his fly.
Yeah, well, you know what? In retaliation, every once in a while, I will.
This is what it is. I'll tell you what happened, and I'll tell you what is happening.
Okay.
I was a guest on the show. You guys said, hey, did Jimmy fart in front of you? I said, he doesn't. I've never heard him fart.
I think Adam then said, doesn't he do the Dutch oven where he throws your head under there?
Jimmy is so famous with his male community of friends for farting.
This an attack
for the
on my
smell
masculinity.
Of farting.
Well, particularly for clearing a bus one time at Universal, I recall.
It was a tram. Let's not get crazy.
A year later, he overheard someone, a total stranger, talking about it.
Adam overheard it, yeah.
Now, here's the thing. Jimmy was home listening to this, horrified, very, very angry.
Really?
Very angry. It was a serious...
I told her there was a deal that was put in place, and the deal was this. I won't fart on you if you don't tell people that I'm not farting on you.
He was embarrassed
of course he wasn't farting. Of course.
Yeah. And then
how dare you?
When she went ahead and
that's a violation of the male code.
Humiliated me in front of you and Adam.
Jimmy, I'm so sorry.
Not to mention the audience.
You need a trip to Vegas, something.
No, I had to fart right on her when she got home. I held her down and I farted right on her face.
No, you didn't.
And then she
I'm
tried
not
the same
gonna
thing.
Perpetuate this lie, Jim.
Okay.
The only time he does it is he will let it fly behind closed doors, but I do hear it.
Okay, all right. Well,
and I hear him giggling.
Tonight you're going to eat
it. Sometimes you can't decide. You can't differentiate between the farting and the giggling.
Who's on Jimmy Kimmel tonight? Let's get
off
this topic.
I don't know.
What do you mean? 12:05 ABC.
Tonight, we generally run reruns on Thursday nights, but I think, I don't know who's on tonight, but we just did a show. It'll air tomorrow night. It's very confusing, I know, but Jennifer Tilly was on.
Oh, cool.
It wasn't a great show. Don't bother watching.
And you have the Pamela Anderson roast coming up.
That was great. On Sunday night, Comedy Central, the roast of Pamela Anderson. I was the roast master. Sarah was a roaster. And Courtney Love was there. Adam was there. A lot of people were there. It was a crazy night. Imagine being on a stage with Courtney Love, Andy Dick, Adam, Sarah, Tommy Lee, Dennis Rodman.
Oh, my God.
And who else was there that was a lunatic? I mean, this is like...
I would like kept like a team of mental health workers and some police and stuff.
It wouldn't have done any good. It really wouldn't.
Well, just in case. I mean, you at least kind of contain it a little bit.
It was crazy.
This is like in the comic books where all the super villains get together to defeat Batman. Like some of the world's most disgusting people gathered on one stage.
Oh, my God.
It really was something.
The cleanup guy, the mob.
But it was, I mean, Courtney Love was...
She molested Jimmy.
And you were sitting right there.
Yeah, but I mean, I just felt bad because I knew Jimmy was dying. Yeah.
Well, it was. We became very close. We had a nice talk, and it's something to see. Definitely, it's on Sunday night.
Sunday night, it's Comedy Central also. Right.
Yeah.
And then one last thing while we wait for our technical problems to clear up here. I ran into Uncle Frank today.
I heard this. Yes.
Already?
He accosted me immediately.
He accosted you too.
You were at the bank, huh?
No, I was. He lives. My show Strictly Sex is produced in that building right there.
Oh, I didn't know.
And so I was walking from the parking lot to the.
Did you lie to him and tell him you were at the bank?
No, we walked. I was walking past the bank.
I see. That,
and I know he got the bank in.
Don't
this.
Ever tell him that you do your show right there, or he's going to be there.
I don't do it there. I sort of the production offices.
I see.
So,
okay.
Yeah, I know. And he again launching the thing about how he looked for chicks the whole time he was on the beat as a New York cop. And the reason he was so well thought of by his superiors that he never fell asleep at work because he's all the way out looking for chicks. and how he slept with one woman a week for years.
For about 20 years.
And how he and Aunt Chippy are the best and best of friends, but he's on the outs right now with her because he spent too much money on your nieces. No, wait. But your nieces?
My cousins.
Your cousins'
daughters.
Wedding.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. They're on the outs.
She's angry about that. Ooh. Well, Aunt Chippy is my Uncle Frank's... and his probably people don't care, but Aunt Chippy and Uncle Frank were married for like 35 years. No couple has ever hated each other more than they did throughout. I mean, they hated each other.
That's not to hear Frank tell. Oh, we were the great. We got along great, but when the kids were gone,
well, he's oblivious. I would say she hated him a lot more. Like I always said,
he was out screwing the whole time. What the hell?
Never when he was married.
Oh,
never,
really?
Never, never. No, this is when he was a single man. But I will say this: Aunt Chippy is one of the meanest women in the world.
Really?
And when they get together, it is hilarious. My cousin Sal, I used to just tape record them, and we have a tape where, imagine, this is just an audio tape of sitting at the dinner table, and Uncle Frank can't get ketchup to come out of the bottle. He goes, and you could almost hear him shaking the ketchup. Chip, how do you pour this? Frank, you gotta shake it. He's shaking. It's not coming out. Frank, you gotta shake it. Give me that goddamn thing. Frank, you got the cap on. Frank, you got to open the cap before it'll goddamn pour out. And then she goes into, he's so stupid, it's pathetic. He'll never invent the light bulb. He'll never invent the airplane. He's lucky he knows how to ride in one. This is a daily conversation.
Oh, I see where you got your comedic bent.
It's sad that they broke up.
Yeah, indeed.
No, but will you do your one last thing, the impression of Aunt Chippy?
Well, Adam's on the line. What do you want me to do?
Aunt Chippy at the wedding, talking at the wedding.
Oh, my Aunt Chippy is a reader at church. And why don't we put Adam on the line while we do this? Adam has seen this, actually, in action at my sister's wedding.
Adam? On 7?
You got am I on?
Yeah, how about that?
Yes.
Adam, 40.
Aunt Chippy.
Here's Aunt Chippy reading at church. Now, keep in mind, again, this the meanest woman in the world never had one nice thing to say to her husband in 35 years. Reading from the Bible. Love is always patient. Love is always kind. Love never criticizes. Frank, are you listening to me? There's Aunt Chippy.
Yeah, and that's, I don't know if you've spoken to Aunt Chippy, Dr. Drew, but that is Dead Nuts On. You probably saw her on Jimmy's show.
I did. And she did a whole weekend here shift the whole, of shifts at K-Rock. And then I ran to Uncle Frank today, and he told me how glorious she was and how they've gotten along forever. But just since they didn't have as much to share when the kids are gone. They shared everything when the kids were together.
Yeah.
Kids were at home. But now, it wasn't quite the same thing. They did two different lives. In fact, we hate each other. Anyway.
Uncle Frank was tapped conversationally by the fifth grade. I don't think there's anything left in him.
However, luckily, he can hold you for 20 minutes.
And will physically hold you.
Yes, he grabs you. He grabs you.
Yeah.
Well, how's things going, Adam Brooks?
Think about think about the correlation between the person that pinches you in your upper arm when they're talking and mental instability.
You know what he does, and I know he doesn't realize he does this, but at least five other women have concurred with me that while he's talking to you, he pokes you in the boobs.
Yeah. He does it to men and women.
Yeah, it's nothing sexual, but it is totally crazy.
Does he pinch you guys in the arm like he does
to
men?
Yeah. He does a pinching thing. Well, he'll hold you.
Yeah. Well, he knows if he doesn't come down on you like a bear trap, you'll escape into the wilderness.
Yeah.
Adam, what's up? You're missed.
Oh, I'm just coming back from a little TLC shoot.
Oh, my God, Adam.
Adam has several television shows
now. Has this week been hell?
Yeah, it's been hell, but I'm glad it's done. Yeah. And, I was just thinking, I'm going to call and plug my TV show, which got crappy ratings and then got good ratings last night, inexplicably.
Oh, really? So, wow.
Yeah, I have no idea why. And I'm sure it had nothing to do with me.
For some reason, we got crappy ratings last night.
You stole them.
Maybe
you stole them, Adam.
I don't know.
Yeah, but I'm on at 11:30, and Jimmy's on at 12:06 on ABC.
Yeah, and plus we get crappy ratings every night.
I think on satellite, it's so hard to figure this stuff out now. Come on.
Yeah, I don't know. And, the network's always like, we don't pay attention to it.
Oh, right.
If you don't pay attention to it, you really shouldn't be a network executive because that's how you make your money.
Right.
They're lying when they say they don't pay attention. They never say that when it's going well.
Right.
You never go, wait, we got a 9 share last night. We're not paying attention to it. It's only when things aren't going great.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just a coincidence that they want you to change everything when the ratings suck, and they don't want you to change anything when the ratings are great. I know you're not paying attention to it, but I just thought I would give my own program a plug. And then I'll give Jimmy's a plug, too. You can watch me on Comedy Central at 12:30 tonight. I should say 11:30
11:30.
And then, thanks, Jimmy. Then you can flip on over and watch Jimmy at 12 and change.
And then you can head to the movie theaters and see Sarah and the Aristocrats. And then, Dr. Drew, your show is on at like 4 in the morning,
no, it's
right?
It's midnight against you.
Because it's pornographic, right?
Oh, terribly, terribly so.
Right.
My show is squeaky clean.
It is?
Yes.
Why did they put it on so late?
Hmm.
Did you see the poster? He's so sexy in it.
I did. One of the best things I've ever seen is a huge billboard of Dr. Drew on a very busy intersection, and I immediately called Adam.
Near where you were.
I was choking laughing. Dr. Drew sprawled out like he's Vendela or something.
Like Burt Reynolds in the 70s.
On a couch.
Vendela. Yeah.
I know.
It's better to be partnered up with Jimmy Kimmel than it is for Dr. Drew in terms of the ladies, because Jimmy, but women come up to me all the time and tell me crushes they have on Drew, and how handsome he is, and how much they love him, and it's all I can do to talk them out of it. let them know the real Drew.
And they never say that about me.
Drew, you get a lot of mileage too out of being a faithful married man that turns chicks on too.
Oh, you know how that is, right? Women, got to break that up.
Yeah, as soon as they find out you're committed, they want to test your resolve.
They want to get her. You know what I mean? I'll show her.
Thornbirds.
You know what? You're just you're prey to these women, Drew. They want you, and they'll stop at nothing to get you.
But they got to have what they can't have.
Oh, yeah.
Once they found out he was a man of passion,
yeah,
then they really poured it on Zach. All right, so you guys get back to your fantastic radio show. I'm gonna be home listening.
All right, too late with Adam Carolla. Follows the Daily Show. I think some of the satellite feeds are at different times, too.
Oh, so you and your satellite.
Because I've got satellite. And
people will figure it out. It's on after the Daily Show.
That's what I'm going to say. Just watch after the Daily Show. See if the Daily Show's on, you stay, keep watching. You'll see Adam's show to follow.
All right.
So there you go.
Guys.
All right, buddy. See you on Sunday.
Too late with Adam Carolla.
It's too late for Carolla.
Thanks, sir.
All right. All right, let's take some.
Night.
All right,
take care, Adam. It's great to talk to Adam again.
We just talked to him a couple minutes ago? Or?
No, I talked to him yesterday, though.
All right.
Who do we have on the telephone, Doctor?
Let's try line 3, Lori 18.
Very good.
Oh. I really want to help this person.
Okay.
Lori.
Okay, good. Anderson, you got to do the calls for us, buddy. All right, Lori?
Hi.
Hey, what's going on there?
Okay. First of all, is Adam still in the studio?
No, he was just calling her from the outside. No. We got the great Jimmy Kimmel and the amazing Sarah Silverman.
We can handle anything Adam may possibly have been able to help you with.
I did this. I said the great Nicole Sullivan the other night. She goes, sounds like you're introducing a vaudevillian magician. Here we go. What's up?
That's right.
Sorry. When he comes in the studio, tell him I wanted to play Adam Carolla with him.
Okay. You know, he's trying to...
Adam
Carolla. Adam doesn't have to be here to play Adam Carolla.
That's the point.
Marco Polo doesn't have to be there to play Marco Polo. Lori, think.
The point is, he wants it to sweep well beyond the bounds of his physical domain.
Besides that...
I play it every pool I'm in. Every time I'm in a pool, I play it. I played it in Walmart the other day.
Didn't you? Walmart? The plastic pool or something?
In the aisles, right?
Oh, Lori, well, what's going on?
Okay, I just turned 18, and I'm going out with this guy, and he's turning 28 in a couple months.
Oh.
And so, and he wants to get married, and I kind of want to get married, too, because I don't want to end up alone when I'm, like, you know, I don't want to, like,
die alone. Oh, my God.
Sarah, why don't you talk to this young lady? She's worried she's going to be an old maid. She's 18.
Please, please don't get married. If you ever, I don't know why you would just listen to a stranger, me, but if you would... Please don't get married. Please don't get married.
It would be such a
ridiculous mistake. Why do you have to get married? If you're destined to be with him forever, then be with him for 10 more years and then get married. What's the difference?
And why would you end up alone? Very few people end up alone, and you're only 18. You've got a lot of years to sort of sort it out.
Well, it's like I go to a Baptist church that's really strict.
It's lies.
Well, they say, usually the girls get married by, 21 and are starting to have kids. And, if you're, 27 and you're not married, you're considered, an old maid. Like, seriously.
Change crowds.
Move to a big city.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're totally, I know that there are adults around you that where it's normal, these things, but they're totally, if you want a great life with tons of opportunities and to live the most, what do you want to be a mom and then have a kid? Go to a Costco and hang out with some kids. Who said that the other day?
I don't know. How long have you been dating this guy?
A year and a half now, actually.
So he's been dating you since you were 16 years old?
Yes.
And he's in his late 20s. What do you think? I know you think of him as a person, but what would you think about some guy who's in his late 20s that's dating a 16-year-old?
Well, I think he's gross, but I mean, it's like a different situation. I don't know.
No, it isn't. It really isn't a different situation.
When you're 28, you look at the guys, your peers around you, and you think, oh, my God, which of these guys would date a 16-year-old? You will flip out. On the other hand, though, let me play devil's advocate for a second, and at least this isn't two 18-year-olds. And women are much more flexible and mature than men. I think an 18-year-old woman could handle a stable relationship for a long period of time with a guy if the guy was ready for that.
So have a pre-engagement.
Correct. And I'm just saying. So there's a flip side of this where it's like, okay, if they must do this. But I agree with Sarah that if she really wants to have a decent life, it's the statistics on married 18-year-olds are not good. Let's go to line 2, which is John. He is 14. John. Yeah. What's up, John?
Not much, man. I just want to tell Jimmy something real quick. The Man Show was way better when you and Adam hosted it, man.
Well, thank you.
Well, you see Sarah's dancing to this music, Anderson. It's amazing. We can play that all night. She's doing a two-step.
Well, the
every time I look at my vagina, I want to punch somebody.
Hey!
It says here that you're having a testicle problem of some kind.
Well, when I was 13, I had a testicular torsion.
The testy twists on itself and cuts off its own blood supply and starts to die.
Yeah.
And then you eat them. Hurts like F.
Oh.
Yeah, it does. Oh. I could barely walk.
Yes.
But
so what's up now?
Well, my urologist went in and surgically, stitched everything where it wouldn't twist anymore.
So he saved the testy, yep.
Yeah, everything's fine. But every once
movie.
In a while,
I'm just want to promote that, right? Save the testing. So
every once in a while, I'll have the same problem.
Oh, it still twists.
Well, it twists, but it doesn't hurt as bad as it did. But it'll go away.
Do you see? Well, that's good. Do you see the urologist?
Yeah.
What does
sometimes.
He say?
Well, he said he went in and fixed it, but I'm starting to think different.
Well, no, he obviously fixed it, or otherwise it would twist and be in trouble.
Yeah.
At least it's not going all the way. The question is there some kind of maneuver you can do that maybe will sort of, as soon as you start to feel it, you can kind of pop it back in position, perhaps?
Yeah.
All right. Well, obviously, you can go back in and reposition things. There could be another surgery. And secondly, the urologist can kind of advise you on what you might do mechanically to kind of keep it in place. But it's a common problem, John, and it's an unfortunate one. Let's go now to... line
for him.
One. I know, but it's probably not going to go all the way to full torsion where he cuts the blood supply off.
I mean, if it did, if he held on to it, would his body actually start spinning like when you do with a rubber band on a pencil?
Of course.
Okay.
Yeah. Or like a plane propeller in one of those planes with the rubber bands. Yeah. Let's go to line 5. It's Chris, 29. Chris? Sorry. Chris?
Harry, how you guys doing, man?
We're good. What's up?
Long time listener. Great show.
You're on with Jimmy Kimmel and Sarah Silverman.
Cool. I want to start taking Propecia. It's for Dr. Drew, actually.
You're balding?
Yeah.
I take that stuff.
Do you really?
Yeah. I got a lot of hair on my back.
Oh, my God.
No, I do. What I do is I get something called Proscar, which Dr. Drew knows is like it's a bigger pill, and then I cut it up into smaller pills because insurance doesn't cover
it. Propecia is just a small dose of Proscar. Basically, it's an androgen blocker.
I have 4 TV shows. I still need to cheat Medicare.
But, well, what is that?
I don't know. Well, it must be overpriced. I don't understand. Why would it be more expensive if they come in the individual?
It's a marketing issue, but it's not so much that it's more expensive that the insurances aren't as likely to cover something that's elective like that.
Right.
Well, you're committing insurance fraud, basically, is what we're saying.
I don't care.
So what's the question, Chris?
My question's for Jimmy, too, then. Does it work?
Yeah. Yeah, it does work. It works for
you? Yeah, I take that, and then I put Rogaine on my head. And also, once a month, I'll actually cover my head in peanut butter, and it actually works very well.
Have you grown hair with this combo?
I don't know. It's hard to tell, really, because I can't see back there, and it's not like
you're trying to deal with this part.
Yeah, I don't want to go bald back there.
But just here, because you have plenty of hair up front.
Yeah, no, it's in the crown of the head is where it's a little bit. Well, it's all paint. My makeup artist paints it in. So right now,
oh my God,
yeah, she paints it in because I have very black hair, and when the lights go on it, you can see right to my scalp.
She should just paint the pillows just directly to the pillow.
Yeah, the pillows turn black.
I used to laugh at those commercials with the guy with the paint.
Don't laugh. I like to get my hands on some of that stuff.
I put Rogaine on my lower back, actually, and it's really...
You try to grow hair there.
Yeah, well, it was thinning. Now it looks pretty thick.
She's got a very nice, healthy coat.
But yeah, shiny.
I think it works. And you know what? I'll tell you what. I've noticed a side effect, a positive side effect from it. I used to have to get up to go to the bathroom
in
the middle
prostate.
Of the night every night. And now I never do. Ever since I started taking it, I never have to go.
It shrinks your prostate.
Mm-hmm.
And it decreases your sex drive, too, though, potentially.
Yeah, well, I needed that anyway.
Good, perfect.
Well, what about other side effects? Did it decrease your sex drive or
I don't know, really. I mean, and if it did, it was probably for the best.
Okay. Well, for Dr. Drew, then, my last question is I have anxiety, and sometimes I always have Xanax around, right?
Yeah.
And I haven't even taken it for like a year, but if I do need to take it, is there any problem with mixing it?
No. But Xanax, be very careful with it. It's going to be highly addictive.
Xanax almost killed me when I was a teenager.
You know what? They don't. To me, it really doesn't do anything. It just gives me peace of mind, you know?
And you have that there in case you have a panic attack.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. Right. And I haven't even taken it for like a year.
What happened, Sarah?
Well, did I ever tell you this? Okay.
No.
When I was 13, I was sent to a psychiatrist.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, whenever you feel bad, you take one of these
Xanax.
And he gave me a bottle of Xanax. So the following week, my mom dropped me off for my psychiatrist appointment. And I waited. I feel like I said this. I waited in the waiting room. I waited and I waited and I waited. And then up, it was like a Victorian house in New Hampshire. Mm-hmm. And the hypnotist from upstairs, who I also saw once a week for bedwetting, came down.
You only hang out with Adam's a bedwetter, too.
Yeah, it's a rule for me. Yeah.
He came down all crying. And he said, I won't say the doctor's name, but he said, "Doctor, hung himself."
Your psychiatrist?
Yeah, my psychiatrist hung himself.
How did Xanax kill you? How did that?
No, well, there's more to the story. So then I went to this awful, like, registered nurse whose husband wrote prescriptions, and she had put me on, ultimately, like, in the following, within that year, I was taking 4 Xanax 4 times a day.
Oh, my.
And I was 13, 14, and 15.
Had he hung himself that moment? They just found him while you were in the waiting room kind of thing?
No, they had his daughter found him, who I, the following year, went to school with. But I never told
this
her.
This is a case in point
surprise.
For why people get a little freaked out about the medical system is that there are varying degrees of quality of practitioners out there.
Yeah, there are a lot of bad people.
Try not to get a psychiatrist who may hang himself.
I would agree with that. I would agree with that. But be very careful with whom you have to take care of you.
Why go to a therapist when you can spend $1,000 an hour on a Scientology counselor who's going to really make your life right?
Make you clear.
Both you are clear now?
I think so.
Okay. I thought you were kind of glib. All right, thanks, Chris.
Hey, thank you, guys.
All right, we got to take a break now. The great Jimmy Kimmel and Sarah Silverman are in here tonight. Watch Jimmy Kimmel live tonight when we get off the air. And TiVo Adam's show, Too Late with Adam Carolla on Comedy Central, 11:30. And then go get... when is that? But when that comes out on DVD, that's going to be the most amazing rant of all time, I think.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? People are like waiting because it's so restricted to what theaters it's in. They're packed wherever it's being.
It's a lot more theaters tomorrow and then the following
Friday.
So it's
going to be wider
release. It's getting wider until it's going to be like 400 or 500 theaters.
Okay, Aristocrats. It's mostly let's talk about after the break exactly what the movie's about. I'm not sure people around the country really know what the premise is.
You got it, Dr. Drew.
We'll be right back.
I love you guys.
Line. I'm Dr. Drew tonight without Adam, but with Jimmy Kimmel and the amazing Sarah Silverman. And Jimmy, two things to talk about. First, The Aristocrats.
Yeah, yeah. Sarah's in the movie Aristocrats. Now, it's indelicate for Sarah to say how funny it is, but I can say because I am not in the movie. It is really, it's a very, very funny movie.
The premise is it's a documentary about comedians, and basically you all tell the same joke.
I've never told this joke, but I've heard it.
Yeah, I always knew it. I mean, I've known it for... It is a pretty common joke with comics. It's not a joke that you would say on stage. It's, you know,
but it's gross.
It can be. It can be anything. It could even be clean. I mean, the clean way to tell the joke is this family comes in to see this talent agent. The talent agent is sitting in the room, and the family says, "We have an act that we think you're going to like, and we want you to represent us." And the guy says, "All right, well, let's see what you got." And the family then performs, and they do all
you can say like the
manner of
the, you know, say the guy says, "Well, first I come out, I have sex with my wife, then the our son comes out, he takes a dump on the stage, we do a tap dance in it." You know,
then the dog comes out.
This is the clean version, right?
This is the clean version.
Good.
The dog eats the dump. He dumps on the wife.
Okay.
The wife and the son go, you know, and okay. It's horrible. And you can go on. It can go on for an hour.
It's just all improvising,
stuff.
And it just
horrible,
the worse, the
horrible
better
stuff. Yeah. And at the end of this filthy, horrible joke, the agent says, "That sounds unbelievable. What do you call your act?" And then the guy says, "The Aristocrats."
Yeah, and it doesn't give anything away that you know the joke. It's like, you know, when I did the movie, but I didn't know what the whole movie would look like. I just did my part. I mean, I can say it's a very funny movie because, honestly, I'm like 2 minutes, 70 minutes in. But I thought, geez, a whole movie about this one joke is not going to... I don't know. I didn't know.
It doesn't make sense,
it's
right?
It's so funny. It doesn't matter if you like the joke or you think the joke is stupid. It's so funny.
And it's the filthiest non-porno ever made.
And Bob Saget apparently really goes off on it.
Everyone's filthy. There are all these comics that you've seen in far cleaner contexts, and it is funny just for the shock value of that. But it's also, I don't know, I hate breaking down comedy because it just ruins it, but it's really good.
And then, Jimmy, Monday Night Football?
I... I think I'm going to be on the halftime show at Monday Night Football that has not been approved by the ABC higher-ups yet.
Is there any chance you'd be doing commentary with them?
No.
Wouldn't that be like a life dream come true kind of thing?
Not really, because I know I'd get thrown out of there immediately. I mean, I would laugh. I mean, it would be like one, hey, John Madden, you got barbecue sauce on your nipples joke before I was. I would last probably halfway through the first quarter.
I mean, they let Dennis Miller do it.
Yeah, and that didn't go so well.
I'm just saying. All right, let's take some more calls.
All right.
I'm going to go to line one. This is Sarah 14. Sarah?
Hello?
Hi there.
Hi.
What's going on?
I need advice.
Yeah?
Okay, I'm 14, and I've been seeing this 19-year-old guy
for bad
about
times.
A year and a half.
Mm.
Well, until about a...
14.
Yeah. For a year and a half.
Oh, since she was...
A year and a half.
Since he was 17 and she was 12.
Ugh.
And my mom didn't know about it until about a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I found out then that they had been having an affair.
The mom and the 17-year-old.
For about, I don't know, a couple of years.
What do you call your ex?
The aristocrats.
See, that's how it goes.
Well, this explains why you would choose an a-hole like that. The fact that you were raised in a family system where these kinds of things are okay.
Well, I don't like. About a month
I can just
ago,
imagine who your dad was.
You know what it sounds like? It sounds like a stepfather molesting the daughter.
Well, that probably is exactly what happened, Sarah.
Well, about a month ago, I went out and got drunk with these guys.
14, fabulous.
And one of them was one of his friends. He actually went to school. I didn't know that at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And stuff happened with them when I was really, really drunk.
Beautiful.
And he took me back, but now after I found that out, he wants me to take him back.
Sarah, let's get back to you. What happened? Were you sexually abused growing up?
No. She is being sexually abused right
now. A child now.
No. This I think is a reenactment of something pretty.
But the guy who's sleeping
with
the mother is sleeping with her. That's
it's crazy boundaries. It's rape. It's all kinds of things. But it's set up by something. Something else happened earlier.
Where's your dad?
He's in Louisiana.
What is?
Why'd he leave?
They're divorced.
Why?
He was sent to jail a lot when I was little because
for
he
what?
Steal things.
Steal things. But he never did anything to you?
No.
Never hit you?
He never did anything like that.
Did anyone?
No.
He didn't need to. He left.
No, I
That's
know, but
enough.
It's a lot, but it doesn't create this kind of chaos. There's still going on, Sarah.
The guy
what's
lives
up?
With us, kind of, because I don't
the
know.
The same guy that's having a thing with your mom that you want to be with or have been with, who also thought it was appropriate for his friend to be with you?
He kind of left my mom for me that I found out about a week ago.
Your mom?
He left her.
Left your mom.
Stopped being with her. And then she
All right, Sarah,
found
listen.
Out why.
All right, stop. Forget it. None of these guys are you to get near under any circumstances. Do you understand me?
Well, yeah, but he's like...
Sarah?
Okay.
That's why I want to talk to you about what happened before, because you're not listening. Your judgment is severely impaired. The fact that you even consider being with a guy like this is a horrible thing. So there's something that sets you up, aside from the fact that you have a mom who thinks it's okay to be with a 17-year-old.
When I told him it would be over, he started crying for like a day and a half, and he like threatened suicide.
I have no doubt he's a sick young man.
I know it feels good to feel loved, but this is a very, very bad, bad man.
Well, I mean, this guy's probably in the same boat that she was in.
Absolutely.
Sounds like mom is not such a great person. And
he has, abandonment issues from when he was a kid.
Oh, sure. Of course. Yeah. I'm sure
so
he
do
has.
You.
And you do? And is your mom an alcoholic or something?
No.
Why do I smell a drug addict
here? Is she in the house right now?
He got mad at her and hit his fist, and so they went to the hospital to see if he broke anything.
That's what happened right now. That's where they are right now?
Because she told him that she was going to kick him out and that she couldn't live with him anymore in our house.
And he punched the
physically
wall.
Assaulted.
So he punched, the wall. The wall. Outside.
Mm-hmm. And what do you
I'm
think you should do about it?
Just listening to this.
What do you think you should do about this?
I don't know. That's why I'm...
All right.
What would your guess be?
Well, leave him, but...
It's hard. He's living in the house now.
I care about him and everything.
Sarah, no, please. You're 14. Oh, please, dear God. This is like a job for Department of Social Services to kind of sort this out and pull this apart and maybe place that boy somewhere.
Do you have any friends that have normal, good parents?
I mean, I do, but I really haven't. I'm not really close to them, kind of.
Maybe you, at the very minimum, get close to them and spend more time away from
this
trailer.
I went to school with them for like 8 years, so.
What?
All right. Sarah, you got to then throw yourself on the mercy of the system.
Do you have a teacher that you trust that you could talk to?
Well, I've been talking to my best friend, but her moms are like drug addict stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I've been talking to her.
Is there an adult that you can trust that you can speak to about this?
No, not really. I'm not supposed to talk to anyone about this. So.
Who said you're not supposed to talk to anyone about it?
My mom and
No, you got it. You've got to tell somebody. You need help. You really do. You need a social worker or somebody to help you with this.
And your mom's not going to get in trouble. I mean, your mom...
Well, she could because she was sleeping with a 7-year-old.
Well, he's 19 years old now, though. Mm-hmm. I mean, but, you know...
And he's sleeping with a 14-year-old, and that could get him in trouble.
Listen, you don't worry about anybody but yourself. You got to take care of yourself, sadly. Sadly, you don't have adults around you that are taking care of you.
Do not get pregnant, Sarah. Do not get pregnant.
Oh, it kind of kills me, though,
because
he cries, like...
Yes, he's a sick man, but that's not your responsibility. How does he support himself?
He has a job.
As what?
He's a dispatcher.
For the police or something?
Yeah.
For the police?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
All right. Well, you have to find an adult to talk to about this, and, you know, you're about to go back into school?
Yeah.
All right, well, go to your guidance counselor.
Yeah. And or call the Department of Social Services, Child Protective Services, that sort of thing. Sarah, there's nothing we can tell you here that's going to be helpful.
Should I leave him? Or?
Yes.
Period. Leave him. Let your mom kick him out of the house.
Yes, you need to be away from this guy. Stop it. Forget all the... Listen, you're 14. You're asking some people who have some experience and some training... The guy needs to be out of your house.
He cries because he knows, even if he doesn't know it in the front of his head, he's crying because that's how he manipulates you
One of the things that happens with the Sarahs of the world is that they believe they have a special understanding of these guys, and they can see the poor little boy inside. No, he's a 19-year-old male perpetrator. Yeah. That's who he is, who just beat the crap out of the walls of your apartment. That's it. Okay,
making
Sarah?
Her feel special goes a
He's
long way.
He's not going to kill himself
young
either.
Girl.
People that punch walls don't take anything. They do it on purpose. They know exactly what they're doing.
All right, let's go to number line six, Casey, who's 18.
So heartbreaking.
Mm-hmm. Casey.
Actually, it's Cassie.
Cassie, I beg your pardon. What's going
on? That's okay. At least you didn't call me Cassie. I get that a lot.
All right, Casey, what's going on?
Well, I've got, I guess, two questions. I guess I've got two questions. One of them is I just stopped taking Depo,
mm-hmm.
which made me sad because it's wonderful because I never had a period.
Why'd you stop taking it?
Because I'm a cow. I gained like 30 pounds.
Really? That
is
a side effect, but that's not the usual side effect that I see. Anyway.
Take Yasmin.
Belief?
What I wanted to know is I kind of wanted to get away from the chemical kind of hormone birth control, mm-hmm. and I wanted to know about the IUD.
Mm-hmm.
I just remember from class and stuff that some of it can cause scarring.
That's the concern that historically has been at issue, is that back in the days of the Dalcon shield, you had a Dalcon shield?
No, I got an IUD last year.
No.
And I was in
pain all the time.
.08 blood alcohol. Oh no, it was a DUI.
I was in ball on the floor pain for 6 months until I got it taken out. I thought maybe if I waited, it would subside.
But I mean, it all depends the time or just during your period.
No,
the pain all the time.
All the time.
So pain and bleeding
I've never experienced before.
Is the main side effect of the IUD. There historically has been a concern about bleeding and infertility. They've got that problem pretty well taken care of, but. I'm somebody who was in training when a lot of the stuff was going on, and I see all kinds of horrible problems, so I still have a sort of an emotional bias against the IUD, but it looks like a good choice for some women.
But I have a friend who has it, who's had it in for 9 years,
and loves
never
it.
Felt it, doesn't even know it's there. Doesn't even know it's there?
I'm thinking, I could either be falling on the floor in pain or be perfectly fine.
But you could always try it and take it out, and when they took it out, it was fine, right?
That day, it was better.
Because your uterus was always trying to reject
it. I can't believe I waited that long. Yeah.
I some of the concerns that it's hard to...
You just can't remember to take a pill every day? How about a patch?
Are you kidding me? I barely shower every day. There's no way I can. I'm lucky if I buy my toothbrush.
All right. Well, I'm glad you're thinking about these things ahead, then. That's good. Please don't get pregnant. We got to take a break right now, right?
Okay. Real quick, can I ask you another question?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, quick. Real quick.
Well, this is just something, I've listened to you guys for so long, and I've always wanted to ask you about this. Yeah. I've never been able to masturbate.
Mm-hmm.
I know that's really weird, but I've never been able to figure it out, and I've never
had... You gotta use your hands, number one.
A lot of women feel that way, and especially, how old are you?
I'm 18.
Yeah, 18.
The only way I can have an orgasm is during intercourse.
Yeah, and do you have multiple orgasms?
I don't know.
Sounds like she's having one right now.
Do you have one right after the other? I mean, or do you just have one?
I guess I could have more than one.
Try sitting on an apple.
Vibrating apple or just...
No. An apple.
We'll talk about you when we get back from the break, okay? There's a lot to talk
about.
We're
going to help you masturbate.
All right, so hold on, okay?
Okay, thanks.
Right. Dr. Drew's going to help you masturbate.
Jimmy's going to talk dirty to you.
Yeah.
In just a second.
All right.
Love line, 1-800-LOVE-191. We're here with Jimmy Kimmel, Sarah Silverman. Jimmy Kimmel Live, midnight, 12:05. Sarah Silverman, Aristocrats. Adam Carolla, too late, 11:30. Comedy Central. Jimmy on ABC. And we are talking to Cassie, who Sarah was going to teach something about masturbation.
I was?
Yeah. You were?
Yeah.
Cassie, you say you've never been able to masturbate.
What do you mean? You can't find the time?
No, it's arousing, but I've never been able to climax.
Here's what tends to happen under the age of 22 to women very commonly, is that there's no drive to orgasm that there is with men from testosterone very often.
Mm-hmm.
And think about women. Listen, women. What makes woman a woman is two large chromosomes.
Called the vaginas.
The X chromosomes that makes the vaginas, or allows for the vaginas, let's put it that way. Mm-hmm. The testosterone makes the testes. And the penis. But having two large X chromosomes, there's tremendous diversity of genetic material in those X chromosomes. From woman to woman, women are very different biologically, genetically. What makes you and I men, Jimmy, is this little piece of information called the Y chromosome that's actually decaying as time goes along.
It is?
We're actually...
Interesting.
And it's a very limited amount of information. It's all the same. So what makes us male is very similar. What makes a woman can be quite diverse. And so things like orgasmic function has a genetic basis to it. Some women can have multiple orgasms. They tend to not lack oral sex and have the orgasms only with intercourse. There's an intermediate zone that has one, maybe more, with intercourse. There's a group that has oral sex and intercourse orgasm, but less reliably with intercourse. And there's about 50% of women that never have orgasm.
This is the most boring sex talk I've ever heard.
Never have orgasm with intercourse. 50% have
orgasm
with intercourse.
She has an orgasm with intercourse. So let me ask you this. When you try to masturbate, I know it would make sense to use something that goes inside you since intercourse is what gives you orgasms. Is that what you do?
I have before. It's just... I don't know. The only time that... I just feel like it's... I've been dating the same guy for about...
Hang on. Stop with the guy thing. See, it doesn't... Unless they have... Many women under 22, masturbation sort of doesn't make sense. If they're not having an experience of intimacy with it, the sexual arousal doesn't progress in that trajectory.
Well, I've been interested in it. I just find myself very frustrated.
Mm-hmm. It won't hook up. They have to have that whole experience.
So because you don't have to masturbate if you don't want to, but you want to...
And
you can't?
No. I mean, and that's, it's usually kind of what, starts the whole thing rolling.
Starts what whole thing rolling?
I don't know. I guess, I don't know if I disconnect it. That's just foreplay.
Well, let's put it this way. It's probably going to happen, more likely to happen when you're over around 25 or so. As you get older, the probability of you being able to achieve orgasm with masturbation goes up.
Isn't it too bad? Because it's so much hotter to think of a girl who's like 20 masturbating than the realism of like probably a woman who's like 45. Ugh.
Well, I suggest you go on Amazon.com and purchase my new video, Finger It Up. I think you'll find it very useful.
No, I just find it very limiting because, I love being with my boyfriend.
Yeah, listen, be with your boyfriend.
What's your nationality?
I'm American. I'm white. I don't know.
You're what Caucasian.
You don't know what your nationality is?
Well,
are you
I'm
Irish
American.
Or
I guess I'm white.
Where are your ancestors from?
Oh, I guess
she's
Ireland.
American, like cheese.
Ireland. Ireland.
Yeah.
You have to ask them always where your ancestors
are. Do you have
from,
like dudes? Almost no hair on your arms?
It's blonde.
You think of low testosterone, which is true. Women, they're highly estrogenized. Well, but again, still that orgasmic function is more complex than just that. It has a high degree of genetic basis to it. Mm. And what the ruse on women these days is all the magazines tell them, well, this is how you're going to do it. Women are very different, and they're different at different stages and different ages in their life. And there's quite a diversity of experience there. And so a lot of women feel flawed because they don't live up to the Cosmo standard. Well, there's all this different ways of doing things.
I don't think it would hurt to sit on an apple.
Or to buy Jimmy's video.
Or like a water bottle.
This sounds really stupid, but I feel so much better. Because I did. I just felt like there was something wrong with me.
No, that's the point. This is what drives me crazy. I've talked to lots of women. Thank Cassie for your call. I feel flawed, and they're not. It's normal for them. It's normal as a female. It has nothing to do with living up to the standard of a 17-year-old male, which is a different biology. We have to take a break. We're here with Sarah Silverman, Jimmy Kimmel. The number here is 1-800-LOVE-191. And I'll be back on Sunday. In the meantime, Jimmy and Sarah are filling his prodigious shoes. We'll be right back. That's right. Love line. 1-800-LOVE-191. We're talking about apples, vibrating apples, and aristocrats, and Jimmy Kimmel Live. And what do you got there? No?
No. I don't know what it is. I really have no idea.
It was in my purse.
I wasn't going to read it.
Your hand just saying no. Let's take calls. Oh. Let's do Germany or Florida.
You want to do that?
You guys seem tired. You all right?
Germany and Florida is one of those things that someone pitched at my show, and I said, not really interested, and Adam fell in love with it.
Totally in love with it.
And now it's become, okay, well, somebody has a story?
It's a part of the show. Basically, at Jimmy's show, I guess somebody realized that all the weird stories in the world, if something truly macabre and particularly sort of twisted is happening, the story comes from either Germany or Florida.
Right.
And then we have a few people who have sung theme songs.
Yeah, too. I know. I love the theme songs.
David Alan Greer has one.
David Alan Greer's got a couple of them. Here he is. If we don't air this, I get nasty emails from him.
Da, da,
oh, really? Yeah.
Is it Germany or Florida? Hey! Germany or Florida? Let's find out.
It's catchy.
Ooh.
Here we go. This is Ted, 20.
Hey, everybody. What's up?
Vita Shane.
Killing over a video game system. Authorities have arrested and charged 4 people in the killings of 6 people in a rental home. The murder was organized by a man who was angry because he believed his video game system and some clothes had been stolen. All are charged with first-degree murder and armed burglary. The 4 killers, armed with aluminum baseball bats, forced their way into the home where the victims were in beds early Friday morning and beat them to death, just as planned. The victims, 4 men and 2 women, also sustained knife wounds, but autopsies showed the blunt force trauma from the bats killed them.
The
victims had no chance to arm themselves or fight back. There was no way they could really defend themselves.
Well, here's why this is a problem, because you think, well, obviously it's Germany, because we would have heard this story if this happened, but they don't play baseball in Germany.
Not with metal bats, especially.
Well, I think they would play with metal bats if the kids played Little League.
Right.
I mean, but I don't think there's much baseball at all there.
So
I'm going to guess it. I don't think this happened in the United States, because I know everything that goes on in the news. And if this happened,
this kind of weird stuff, a lot of weird stuff happens in Florida, never makes it across the country, though.
Yeah, maybe it got caught up in the swamp.
Maybe he just read
maybe
it online.
You had the day off today. Maybe it happened today.
No, I worked today. Oh. No, I'm going to say Germany, and I'm going to guess that baseball bat was some translation from some weird German
cricket
sport
stick or something.
Yeah. Like Jew slugging or something like that.
Sarah, Germany or Florida?
I'm going to take Florida. Was my first instinct.
I'm going Florida too. All right, what do you got there?
Well, you guys are right. It's Deltona, Florida.
Deltona.
Daytona. Really?
Interesting.
I think there is a Deltona. Is it Deltona?
Yeah, Deltona.
Yeah.
There you go.
I did not hear that.
Well done.
I think a massacre like that would make the
news. Did it happen? When was it reported?
He's gone.
He's passed
away. Okay, talk to you later.
Let's talk to John on line 5. He's 25. John?
Hey.
Hey, what's going on?
Well, I got this question. I've been seeing this girl for a while, and she's like 21, and we kind of frequently have sex, and for some reason, every time I try to go down on her, she never lets me go down there. Like, she pulls me up, and I know, I'm pretty sure she's not having, like, the orgasm during the...
Intercourse,
yeah.
Right.
So I'm kind of wondering, like, what's up with her, you know?
What do you guys think?
She probably has teeth down there.
Teeth. Vagina dentata. Interesting.
And she probably is worried that she smells down there and doesn't want you down there.
Well, like, the couple times I have been down there, I didn't smell anything, you know?
Here's what tends to happen. How long have you guys been going out?
About 6 or 7 months now.
Some women feel as though that is a level of intimacy that they have trouble sort of getting to. Either at all or certainly early in a relationship. That's kind of like super intimate experience, and sort of giving herself up in an orgasm, and particularly having one generated that way, is sort of overwhelming. They also feel uncomfortable about how they look, how they smell, and they just it's just hard for them. I think you ought to have a conversation with her about it. They're not in the midst of action, but just some time when you guys are kind of talking about how much you'd like to do that for her, and that reassure her that there's no problem. Well...
Or I mean, just
no
hold your nose and go, I'm going in.
No more problem than any other situation like that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And I think that'll kind of reassure
us. Or just count your lucky stars.
Okay, Adam.
How dare you?
Okay, Adam.
This I mean, really, what's
Adam's
the problem?
Adam's question would be, does she have a sister?
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Well, seems like not something you want to worry about, though,
thank
right?
Thank your lucky stars.
What?
I'm right here.
I'm sorry. All right, who's next?
All right, this is Charlotte, 21. She's on line 4. Charlotte? Charlotte, line 4. Hey, what's going on? This technical thing is not good. I, by the way, don't have any other calls here. Somebody's got to get me more calls.
I'll go in the other room.
What you doing? What's up, Charlotte?
Hi. Okay, so my question is that when I was, like, 18 or 19, I'm 21 now. When I was 18 or 19, I had a boyfriend. I was having sex. Everything was fine. And I went to college, and I kind of developed an eating disorder. And I had it for about a year. I was anorexic. And I'm recovered now. I have been for, like, 8 or 9 months. But I feel like my sex drive is, like, really low. Like, not coming. Like, it was really low sort of while I was kind of, like, in the midst of it.
And by the way, when you're starving, the first thing that gets conserved is reproduction. Because your body's going into survival mode.
Yeah, and I'm still not having regular periods either.
Right. And that's one of the real problems with anorexia. It can cause premature ovarian failure. It can cause what's called oligomenorrhea, where you don't cycle normally. It kind of causes an ovarian shutdown. And you might want to see a gynecologist or even an endocrinological gynecologist, somebody who specializes in female endocrinology, because sometimes
no,
these things...
I just saw someone, and she gave me Provera, I think.
Mm-hmm. Well, she's doing a test to see how your system's working, basically.
Yeah, and so I took it, and I took it for 10 days, and she said, then wait 7 days, and you'll get a period, and I didn't.
Okay, then you need to go back to her.
Okay.
She'll probably add some estrogen next
You should
time.
Go to a man doctor, because the women doctors, they get it's easier, right, for them to get their doctorship, right? Because
oh, yeah, of
they
course.
Want,
they give them a break.
It's like Asian comics. They get every break because it's so rare.
Right. And they want to be nice to them, especially when they're going to gynecology.
Go to
the training's cut in half because they figure already, you know. You
a
know
real
something.
Man doctor, and you'll be in better hands.
No, Charlotte.
Yeah, it's so much harder for a man.
It really is kind of a serious issue, because if you do have low estrogen, it can predispose you to softening of the bone. It's a multiplicity of problems that come off these endocrine shutdowns
That's
associated
what happens
with anorexia.
With propecia.
You can get osteoporosis from that too, but not so likely.
If I go on estrogen, will that help the sex drive thing?
It may well. And if your ovaries are shut down, you got to remember that not only do they produce estrogen and progesterone, but they also produce testosterone. And while estrogen and progesterone may make you feel arousal and receptive, you may not have the drive without a little bit of testosterone too. So it's again why you may want to see somebody with endocrinological training in the female reproduction. Okay.
Okay.
All right, but to stay with your eating program, because you know it's a chronic illness that can recur, and already you're suffering rather serious medical issues, so watch out, all right?
All right, thank you.
All right, good luck. Now let's go to line 6, Shannon, who is 19. Shannon, line 6. Thank you.
What about it?
What's up, Shannon?
Hey, how are you?
We're good.
Okay, so me and my husband, we've tried anal sex before, and
19. How old's your husband?
He's 19.
Yeah, how long have you guys been married?
Since we were 18.
Wow. So, Sarah is so aversive to that. She cringes.
It's just, why? Why do you have to, why can't you just go out for a few years? You're such a rush.
They needed place settings.
We actually listened to that one earlier where you guys were talking to that girl. We actually, the reason we had to rush it, because we were going to probably wait, but we had to rush it just because he was in the military, so we had to get married so that I could go live with him. So
there, Sarah,
oh, wow,
you see.
That is a good reason.
There are reasons. Yeah, so what's going on?
We wouldn't be able to be together. Okay, well, we've tried anal sex in the past, and we had to stop because it was just, like, way too painful.
Yeah. But
for him?
And him or you?
For me.
Oh, you guys are cute. You guys are cute.
It hurt, like, way too bad. And so he wants to try it again, and I'm totally open for it, too. Like, yeah, I'm willing to try whatever. But
really, at 19, thank you. You're already so bored with regular sex. It's been too long now that you have to start trying the kinky stuff. Really? How interesting. Intriguing.
Well,
right, start doing anal sex in 2 months. You'll need, like, midgets and
dwarfs and stuff. And look, is it his idea or yours?
It's actually both. We've tried it in the past, and I was open.
They had a meeting.
Yeah, but Shannon, I wouldn't have been a fly on the wall in that meeting. But Shannon, look, it hurts you. I would imagine your sort of contribution to that meeting would be, now, honey, this is a painful thing to me. Let's not do that.
Well, I wanted to know if there was a way to make it not.
But why? Why are you so interested? Why?
Why?
It's painful for you.
Why do men climb Mount Everest?
No, because
why do we go to the moon?
That's different. That's why he wants to do it. What you're going to find out with her is that it's because he wants to climb Mount Everest that she's willing to go through the pain.
Right.
And I'm saying that's not necessary.
Not necessary.
There's nothing wrong with going through a little bit of pain for a loved one. Sure, but
here's the deal.
Do you realize this? Duty comes out of there.
Well, forget the duty. What comes out? Listen, when she's 75, your rectum can come out of there. You can prolapse your rectum. You can get fissures
Drew,
and perineal abscesses.
Can I talk to you outside for a second?
Outside?
Can we save this for another night? Okay, take it easy.
So I don't want
the ramifications.
I don't want to discourage you, Sarah. I mean, Shannon.
Yeah.
I don't do that. I'm Jewish.
I just figured I'd try.
There is a segment. Hang on a second, Chad. There is a segment in the Torah where they explicitly it's mentioned this.
Now, yeah. Shannon, uh-huh. Is your husband there with you?
Yeah, he is.
Let's talk to him for a second.
All right, okay. Put him on the phone. Ooh.
Hello.
Hey, what's your name?
Hey, I'm Ray.
Ray, what part of the military are you working for?
What's that?
What limb of the military are you working for?
Anal Marines.
I'm in the Marine Corps.
There you go. See?
Now, Ray, I'm trying to help you here, but these two anti-anal activists seem to be talking about when your wife's 75, her rectum's going to fall out.
Yeah, that wouldn't be any good.
Well, the point is, that's an area that already has tons of pathology associated with. I mean, there are surgeons that specialize in that area because there's enough stuff that goes
you
on.
You want them to starve? Their children have to go to college?
Oh, my God, you have a problem.
We need that dag drop right about now. Anderson, who's screening. No, not that one. Although that one's okay.
I think it's great if you're into it, but if
it hurts you, the reason your body gives you those messages because you are damaging, you are traumatizing an area of your body, and believe me, there are tons
regular
of
sex
things
hurts
that can
the
go
first
wrong.
Time too, doesn't it?
No, yeah. Yes, it
hurts
does.
So good.
Is there a story there?
What I said, I got feelings for you. Can I prolapse your anus?
It's a good question.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah. So Ray, it's something you want to do, right?
Yeah, it's just something we wanted to try. You know?
No, forget the we.
He means the royal we.
Oh, my God.
Hey, it's possible that she wants to try it, though, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yes. And she did, and it hurt her, and now she should be sort of
assessing.
Well,
they didn't do it right.
That's what their question is. But the reality is, for most of them, it is ouch and traumatizing and difficult. Some women like it and actually can only orgasm that way. There are those people, and that's fine if that was her. But, Ray, why is this so intriguing to you? That's the part that I find so interesting.
Because
she's a man.
Said that, you know, it gave him really good orgasm and I liked it a lot, and we were just wondering if there was something we were doing wrong.
Wait, say that again. What was that now?
Oh, well, we've had friends that have done it before,
yeah,
and that they've had, like, really strong orgasms from it, and we were just wondering if maybe we were doing something wrong.
The wrong thing is your girlfriend is not configured for that experience.
Well, it's his wife, first of all. And secondly, you don't know that. You guys tried it one time?
No, listen, I've talked to these women that like the experience. When they like it right away. It's a good thing right off the top.
Have you used the I can't believe it's not butter spray?
No, we haven't tried that.
They say that's the best. Try that and then call back.
All right. All right. Ray, well, it's great that you guys are into each other. It's great that you want to experiment stuff. But generally speaking, a good rule of thumb is that things that hurt are things to be avoided. Whatever. You can start with that.
I mean,
I'm just saying.
Can you have an orgasm knowing that she's like, ah.
Oh, Sarah, please.
What?
Even more so.
That's a man.
Oh, please. My God.
It's a joke. And that's not true. And you
it's
and
based
your
in truth.
Boyfriend Adam are a couple of homos. I have news
Talk
for
about
you.
Homos. What kind of straight man likes when
my,
there's
my
a perfectly
Adam?
Good vagina
yes.
there?
All right, so I hear you guys bad-mouthing anal sex all the time. The fact of the matter is this. The body is a wonderland. We learned that from the song. There are all sorts of things
why,
go on.
I'm genuinely curious why it's so appealing to you.
Because you're genuinely curious. Remember the first time you masturbated, how wonderful it was? And then you figured out, oh, if I use like some sort of a lubricant, it works even better. And then you moved on to, it's the spirit of adventure. It's the spirit, it's what made this country the greatest country in the world.
I know.
Well, we could have just stayed on the East Coast. We didn't have to move west. We didn't have to clean this country out of the
but instead,
Indians.
The
he
anal,
does have a point, Dr. Drew.
The anal frontier needed to be crossed.
Yes.
Hey, I have two
yes.
points to make. One, almost all the gay men I know don't
correct.
Even like it.
They don't like it.
They
do mutual oral or mutual masturbation.
Two, yes. I told you that I would let you do that to me on our 50th anniversary.
Wedding or 50th date?
Well, I'm not into marriage, but let's just say of being together.
Listen,
of being together, that's
years,
even less.
Years of being together?
Yes.
50
then
years.
You will prolapse Uranus. Then that
yeah.
will happen. That's
I won't
we'll
be able
have
to get
a total.
Don't worry.
We'll do it with Annette.
Who's she?
Annette.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Well, Ray, you know what? You guys will figure it out.
All right. God bless you.
Yeah, where there's a will, there's a way.
You know what you do is do it, and when she prolapses her anus, you can actually do it just to the anus without her even being home.
And should that happen, Ray, this is what Sarah's,
we have fun.
It's what Sarah's people call a mitzvah. So there you go. What are you going to say? Let's go to line one. This is Michael, 26, from, of all places, Bakersfield. Michael.
Hey, Sarah.
Hey, what's
I
up there?
I thought you were handed down one of the funniest segments on The Aristocrats.
Ah.
Thank you.
I've heard you are really funny on it.
I don't want people to go in with high expectations.
Okay, you sucked.
No. Hey, whoa.
But I had a question. I was wondering what Joe Franklin thought when he first saw your segment.
I have no idea. I know that they went and interviewed him after my, you know what I mean, after my segment because of it.
Joe Franklin is a local, very old talk show host in New York, whom Sarah accused of molesting her in the movie. or raping her, right? Raping.
Rape.
Did you have a chance to prepare the joke? Or were
no,
you just, they ambush you with the camera?
It's so weird because nobody who did this thought that this was going to be some big, you know, movie. And I think it
still might not.
Well, no. I think it's going to be huge because with what theaters it's open in, they have like record-breaking seat filling or however, I don't know how they call it. But super. I was on, forgive me, Jimmy, the Conan O'Brien show with, and Penn Jillette was the other guest.
What?
It was before I knew. And after the show, he was like, hey, me and Paul Provenza are making this thing. Can we just come over? We'll come over to your place. It'll be 20 minutes. And it really was. They came over and left.
But did they tell you what joke you were going to tell?
Yeah, they said we're doing a thing about that Aristocrats joke, and you can do anything you want about it. You can talk about it, you can do it, you can...
Did you think about it for a couple of days? You thought, oh, yeah, they're coming in 5 minutes. I better figure something out.
No, no.
Not even that.
I wasn't even... I didn't have makeup on. I was wearing what I wore every day of the summer, which was like one of those like hippie skirts and a...
No one
I call it a wife beater. But you know what I mean? It wasn't even... I didn't think anything of it.
Right.
Now you wish you had.
Yeah. No, sometimes
never
that's one.
Makeup now, so anyway.
No, but I mean, it was like just unexpected. Whatever, it's cheesy to like.
All right, let's go.
All right, the truth is, I read the script and I called my agent and I said I have to do this.
We go to line two, Tyler, who is 14. Tyler.
Hello.
Hey, Tyler, what's going on, buddy?
I'm 14 and all my friends have hit puberty and some of them are kind of making fun of me because I still have my girl voice. And I was just wondering if there's any specific reason why I might not hit puberty yet.
Your girl voice? Well,
you don't sound like you have a girl voice.
You sound adorable.
Boys are cruel. They are just cruel. Well, and boys and girls are cruel at that age. And let me tell you this. I have read some literature that suggests late puberty, puberty that comes late, like at 15 or 16, is associated with longevity.
Oh, good.
So, you had late puberty too.
17 and a half.
He read that in Fancy Pants magazine.
Tyler, you hear that? Teen Beat. Tyler, you hear this, that Sarah had puberty at 17 and a half.
Yeah.
And females usually hit puberty around 12.
I know.
And so she is...
She didn't have hair on her balls until she was 20 years old.
On her balls?
Jimmy.
It's a joke.
Some things have to be private.
All my friends already hit puberty, and they all have deep voices and stuff.
You know, it's tough. I understand. My sons are sort of dealing with this, too. Some guys, they overnight, over summer, they come back, and they're men. It's the craziest thing.
Weird.
And they're in the same class with a bunch of little boys.
Yeah.
And it is a crazy, that seventh to ninth grade transition is nuts.
It all evens out. It's just nature.
There are things that can delay it. For instance, if you had non-descended testes, that's something that needs to be looked into.
How are your testes?
What does that mean?
The testes has to come from your abdomen and drop down into the testicular sac. They migrate down. And oftentimes they don't make it, and they can stay up in the abdomen, in which case they can shut down, turn into cancer, and they have to be brought down surgically.
Babies are born with balls.
They drop
giant,
down.
Giant,
they
giant,
go
Grover nose looking balls.
In any event, that can happen. There can be pituitary problems. There can be primary failure of the testes. A common cause is a prolactin secreting
tumor.
This is
a 14-year-old
girl. Yeah, but Drew, listen. Listen, there's nothing wrong with you.
But Sarah, it's not as though nothing happens to anybody ever. Delayed puberty as a medical problem happens, and if it's something you want to have looked into, that's fine. But the probability is that it's just the fact that you are a late bloomer like Sarah was, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. It's a tough thing to struggle with when you're 14 or 15, and your homies are telling you have a girl voice that's cruel. But the fact is... Hopefully it's not a medical
You know who
issue.
Else has a girl voice? Mike Tyson.
There
and
you
Michael
go.
Jackson.
There you go.
Oh.
Listen, this is what you do.
Don't compare me to them, but...
You go to school, you get yourself a fake mustache, and you put it on really well. And you go to school and you go, hey, what's going on? You guys want to cruise Main Street or whatever?
I talk about masturbation all the time. That's how Corolla does it. All right, Tyler, thanks. The phone number here is 1-800-LOVE-191. Please call us. You're quite all right, Tyler.
He's adorable.
I know. Poor guy. Listen, my kids are this age, and they're dealing with this, and it's crazy. And they're wondering, when am I going to grow, and how come I'm competing against guys on the football field or the baseball field that are 6 feet and have mustaches, and come on. Nutty. 1-800-LOVE-191. Jimmy Kimmel and Sarah Silverman are our guest. Corolla's out promoting his show. Too Late with Adam Corolla, 11:30 Comedy Central. Of course, Jimmy Kimmel Live weeknights at 12:05 on ABC. And we will return. Come on, call in. We need some calls now, right after this. Loveline. 1-800-LOVE-191. Adam Kroll is out. Jimmy Kimmel is in. Sarah Silverman is in. And so...
Takes two people to replace Adam.
It does indeed.
Show is starting actually in 4 minutes on Comedy Central. If you haven't seen it yet, it seems like the least you could do after all he's done for you.
That's
Too
right.
Too late with
Show
Adam
Show him the love.
Carola.
Too late.
Who's his guest tonight?
I don't know.
You know what? You don't even watch it for the guest.
Who cares?
Anderson. Anderson and Adam have a long-standing feud going on. You know about that.
I know. I would have fired Anderson a long time ago.
No, I was saying, who cares about the guest? Because Adam's so great, is what I was saying.
Ah,
exactly.
Yeah.
You know, that's from a very bad movie that I was in.
What?
Screwed.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That who cares?
Good time to hit it again, Anderson.
You no-good hooligan!
Let's go to line five. This is Michelle, who is 29. Michelle.
Yes.
Hey, what's up?
I'm just driving to Reno.
All right. Your phone's kind of going in and out, so you might want to pull over. What's up?
I've had 3 kids, and I've never been able to have an orgasm through intercourse. And I was young when I had my first one, and so I was...
Who cares?
That's why I would have fired him.
And go ahead.
And so I really don't know. I do know that through the years, I have been told I don't have the ridges inside
The changes in the vaginal architecture have nothing to do with your ability to have orgasm. You're not having orgasm with intercourse. That's not going to happen to you. About 50% of women never have orgasm with intercourse.
Really?
That's almost half.
Yeah. Why is it a shame? Do you have orgasm with oral sex?
It's very hard for me to. It seems to be getting harder. It got harder for me after each episiotomy that I had.
Why do you think the episiotomies affect your oral sex experience?
It just seems like I had a very hard birth, and so I was cut,
but the cutting's at the other end of the vagina, nowhere near the clitoris.
It is. I lost a lot of senses down there through each child I've had. It's just gotten worse.
So now you don't have orgasm even with oral sex.
Not unless I'm doing it myself with a vibrator.
You give yourself oral sex?
Vibrator.
Oh.
Vibrator.
How long are you married?
I'm divorced.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Are you on antidepressants?
No.
Are you on any medication?
No.
Not on birth control?
Nope.
Ever played frisbee football?
Are you a trauma survivor? Were you sexually abused or anything?
I was when I was 12 and then again when I was 14. Yeah.
All right. So that can affect how you experience these things.
You know, and it's been, I know that has affected me as far as my trust issues with the people I have been with. And so, and then when I finally did fall in love, I again was given, trust issues that I couldn't handle from him. He gave me a lot of reasons not to trust him, and so it's not that I haven't had that feeling. It just seems like I'm the only one who's able to do it fully, you know, and actually know that I'm having one.
It's good that you can do it to yourself,
right? At least you've got that.
Yeah.
But the fact is that sort of often people with trust issues, first of all, they feel uncomfortable giving or being that open to another person. Secondly, having been sexually abused can, although you say it happened initially when you were 12, usually this happens when you're younger, can sort of detach you from the physical experience of stimulation down there. It can actually disconnect biologically.
Yeah, and I know that I did for quite some years.
All right, so the fact that you have done that and now you're in a place where you're divorced and your relationship with men are sort of in question, it's natural enough that these things might surface again. In fact, people with the kind of experience you have will often go from being hypersexual to completely shut down sexually. So I wouldn't be so inclined to blame the pregnancies. However, distortions of the vaginal architecture do bother a lot of women, not so much even how it feels, but even how it looks. And there are now various procedures out there. There's actually a laser procedure out there that repairs the vaginal architecture and brings it back the way it was before the deliveries.
I took a tour of a vaginal rejuvenation center.
Nice.
We walked through the recovery room, and it's like covered in curtains. And, you know, the actual things are separated by divided by curtains. But through the curtains, the women in recovery, this is all we could hear was this.
Okay, so.
Oh wait, God. Hold on. Hold on.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
See, it's fun.
But I'm sure they're happy they did it now.
Yeah, I was actually scrubbed in on one of these surgeries, and it's a rather elegant procedure. It really is. I'm persuaded. Very skeptical about
Sounds
it.
Very
like
elegant.
David Niven would
nobody
be involved.
Basically, you have somebody going from this to this. I mean, you have this when they start out, and
yeah.
You end up
you're making
with
a big
this.
Triangle turns into a
slit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, well, have your vagina
rejuvenated.
Rejuvenated.
A vag juve.
And by the way, Jimmy, vagina.
That's how I pronounce it.
It's a more modest pronunciation.
All right, we're going to go to line
three. It's like Pischetti.
Line three. This is Amanda, who's 19. Hi, Amanda. What's going
Hi.
On?
Okay, so I have a girlfriend, and we've tried anal sex before, and I did it before with a guy, and I didn't like it.
Hold on a second. Hold on. Jimmy's cracking up.
What do you mean, you and your girlfriend? What do you
with the dildo.
Yeah.
How could I be so foolish?
How dare you, Jimmy?
Uh-huh.
Unenlightened.
All of a sudden, it's okay.
Tight.
Yeah. All right. So what happened?
And it's absolutely okay if you like it.
right.
Oh, okay. So
he likes it, Sarah. It's
absolutely
okay.
I remember when my dad got me my first butt plug.
Hello.
What's going on? What's up?
Okay. So I did it once with a guy, and it hurt, you know? And I was like, ew, I'm never doing this again. And now I have a girlfriend, and we tried it, and I have a little tiny butt plug. Oh, God, this is so embarrassing. But I have a little tiny butt plug, and I've used it, and it doesn't hurt.
I have a tiny butt plug.
it does sound like a good song.
But it feels like I have to go, you know?
Yes, of course. That's
it feels like you have to make duty when there's something in your duty hole.
It's called your anal verge. That's a stimulation on the anal verge that gives you that sensation.
So is
oh, my God. What's up with people? I don't understand.
Up with people.
So you're concerned because when you put something in there, it feels like you have something in there.
Yeah.
And that you want to eject, and that's what your body wants to do, is to push out. That's sort of the natural sort of.
Does that ever go away? Like, is there any way I could ever have, like...
Yeah, you can disassociate completely.
Only through prayer.
So it's just always going to feel like that?
Well, I imagine you could sort of desensitize and stretch the area out in such a way that it would be less likely.
Ambisol.
I don't believe that would be a good thing.
Anything
can
go in your ass. You just got to relax.
I didn't know lesbians were into that sort of thing.
What?
Oh, no. Wait, well, we have a lesbian here who's freaking out a little bit.
Well, she's
a woman.
Do you know other lesbians that are into it?
Wait, get the mic.
No.
Yeah, lesbians are into everything.
You're a lesbian.
Yeah, not everything. I mean, different people are into different things, and that's kind of extreme. Anal is extreme for anybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I just
the X Games.
I just hear trauma survivor when I hear a lesbian doing this stuff, right?
Well, plus she had a boyfriend, the anal with the boyfriend, now she's with the girlfriend.
Yeah, are you a real lesbian, or are you just having a little lesbian fling?
Well, I've had a couple of different girlfriends.
No, my question is, are you a trauma survivor? Were you sexually abused growing up, and is this all part of your confusion?
Well, yeah, I've been sexually abused.
There you go.
So, right, you're angry at men, but you want to reenact what happened to you.
Right, it's a compulsion to reenact
in a safer environment.
Exactly. Sarah, what is that, do you think? Give me a sense of why people... I'm always curious about this, almost philosophically, why humans must repeat trauma. They're drawn to it again. And they
it's literally what human nature is.
It's in your biology. It's in us.
The same reason kids watch Finding Nemo over and over and over and over again.
It's intriguing.
Well, it's very close
it's
to
traumatic.
Insanity.
They learn
something. It's doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result.
Right.
Well, when I was raped, I was never raped anally.
Oh, then never mind.
The anal part is just the need for extreme levels of arousal and stimulation and a lot of confusion and chaos in your relationships. All that adds up to trauma. It just does. And so it really, if you want to do these things, fine, you go do them. But it is a compulsive reenactment of some very heavy stuff.
Why would you want to work through the uncomfortableness of anal probing? Why do you want to get past it and get comfortable with it? If you're into it, then great. But if you're not, why push forward?
Or backward. All right, let's take another call. This is James 24 on line one.
James at 24.
James 24.
Yeah,
James?
I just had a question. I've had, you know, just plain old warts on my hands or my knee or whatever, and all of a sudden I'm noticing something looks the exact same thing down in my pubic area, but I have come up clean on tests when I've gotten tested.
Hold on.
My girlfriend's come up clean.
Hold on. On your pubic area or on the penis?
Some in the pubic area, something that looks similar on the penis.
All right. First of all, there's really no test for this for men. The test is visual inspection. The doctor has to look at the warts and decide if that's a wart or not.
Or the DMV, you can get it done.
If you show your picture. But so that's not. There's no test for that in men. Secondly, things that appear in the pubic area that look sort of wart-like are actually more likely to be something called molluscum contagiosum, which is a viral thing that causes these little kind of zit-like growths with a kind of a hard top on them. And people confuse those for warts sometimes. So, James, to sort this out, you need to go see a doctor, have them look at that and figure out what this is. The fact that your girlfriend doesn't have evidence of the HPV or the wart virus suggests that it probably is not what you have. Okay?
Okay.
All right.
Thank you very much.
My pleasure. This is, let's see here.
Well, that was nice. Tidy, you solved this problem.
Easy. Pow.
Pointed in the right direction.
Molluscum contagiosum. Mm-hmm. That sounds like a a seafood dish or something, doesn't it?
It does sound delicious.
Yes, it is. Should we talk to Haley on line four? Haley?
Hello.
Hi there. What's going on?
I've been cutting for about a year, and I want to know how I can get help without my parents knowing.
At 12, that's going to be kind of difficult. And why is it so important that your parents not know?
Because they're, like, weird.
What do you mean?
I don't know. They think, like, they don't know anything about my life, really. They don't.
What should they know? Or what is it they don't know?
I don't know. Like, like, 2 summers ago, like, my cousin, he, like, molested me.
Why don't you tell your parents about that? They could help you.
Well, I don't want them to know.
I know you don't want to. It's painful to sort of... It makes the whole experience more vivid and real when they sort of share it with you. But it needs to come out. These things... We have a saying in the recovery field that you're as sick as your secrets. And this is something that, of course, you're cutting now to try to regulate the overwhelming shame and discomfort that you're in having been through an experience like that. You need to get help. There is help. You can be helped. And you not accessing it, you sort of restricting yourself from getting to it, is only causing yourself pain.
It's natural to feel shame and to feel embarrassed, but you need an adult to tell you that you have no reason to be ashamed or embarrassed.
And your parents can get you to some help. But
let's just presume that she's not.
All right, then let's go to somebody at school. Talk to whoever.
Do you have an older brother or sister?
No, I'm the oldest.
Do you have friends, parents that you're close to?
What?
Friends, parents that you trust or you're close to?
No.
Teachers?
No, not really.
Right. Any adults at all?
My aunt.
There you go.
That's perfect. A good person.
Start there. How old is she?
I don't know.
Okay.
I think she's like a little bit older than my mom, and my mom's like 33, I think.
There you go.
That's
okay.
Perfect.
Tell your aunt. You're going to do that for us?
Well, I don't know, because she, like, tells my mom everything.
Well, then you need
to... But she'll protect you
right.
If you trust her. Tell her how you feel about it.
Tell her you don't want the mom to know, but you do want help, and maybe she can get you that help. The important thing for you is that you get to the help and let the grown-ups take care of themselves. All right? You tell the aunt, all right?
I think you might be surprised at how understanding your mom is about it, though.
Yeah.
Haley, please tell your aunt. You're going to do that for us?
I'll try.
No. We want a commitment from you.
You don't want that cousin to do the same thing to somebody else, do you?
No.
So then you have to tell someone.
Can we get a commitment from you?
I don't know.
Haley, come on. Come on.
Is there anybody at schools that can help me?
Yes. Is your teacher or is there any sort of counselor there? Absolutely, you can go to one of them. But you told us you didn't trust anybody. And I think the aunt would be a better person, but yes. But just at least commit to us you're going to tell somebody, an adult.
Well, I have a teacher that I can tell.
All right. You promise us you're going to tell him, okay?
Uh-huh.
Haley?
What?
You're going to tell the teacher. You promise us?
Yeah.
All right.
And if you can't, write it down on a note and give it to the teacher if you feel like you can't say it to the teacher.
Yeah, you'll be glad that you did.
Okay.
All right. We have to take a break again. All right, Haley, take care of yourself. Sarah Silverman, Jimmy Kimmel, 1-800-LOVE.
I'm hilarious tonight.
You guys are the funniest.
I'm about to cry.
Oh, they're hysterical calls.
You ought to be ashamed of yourself.
I know.
And we will return. Oh, Michelle, thank you. No, you're right. We were not. We were on 2 seconds later. That's right. Love Line, I'm Dr. Drew. Adam Carolla is away till our next show. Phone number here is 1-800-LOVE-191. In tonight, Jimmy Kimmel, Sarah Silverman, and we have a question for Jimmy online, too. Nick, who is 14. We're going young tonight. Sarah, I blame you. Nick, what's up?
Fan of you Nick. For a long time, Drew. It's good to talk to you.
Hey, Nick.
Hey, I have a Drew for you, I have a question for you, Jimmy.
I already have a Drew here. Her name's Sarah.
Aww.
What is the question, Nick?
What, like, got you into doing comedy? Like, what did start it off you to, like, funny?
We were just talking about this off the air a little bit.
I started watching David Letterman when I was about, probably 16 years old. I wanted to be an artist before then, and then I started watching the show, and I watched
artist,
Johnny.
You mean like a fine artist?
Yeah, like
really?
Drawing and wow. That sort
draw
of thing.
Draw anything.
And wow. I'd sit and draw at my desk and watch a little black and white TV, and I got interested in it, and I was working at a clothing store, And this guy at the store said, you know, I work on a radio, on the college radio station, and you're pretty funny. You know, maybe you want to come do something. And I got really excited about doing
it. This was in Vegas or in Phoenix?
In Las Vegas. Yeah. And I went and did it, and, like, my parents were listening. And
how old were you?
I was 17. All my friends were listening. And when I came home, everybody was so excited and so, like, you know, that it was just such a thrill for me that I decided that's what I wanted to do. And I really, what I did was I got into radio.
Oh, well, it turned out pretty good for you, I guess, because you're pretty successful, it seems like.
Well, again, Nate, a lot of people don't know you. Jimmy started here on the same radio station this show started on in Los Angeles, K-Rock. And right? Well, you didn't start here,
no,
but
well,
this is where you got really going here.
Yeah, this was my my big radio job. And Sarah started doing stand-up comedy a different way. How old were you when you did it?
I was 17.
17 years old doing stand-up comedy in front of adults.
Yeah.
Was that weird?
I was just telling my friend Steve the first time I did stand-up, I was opening... Well, it was one of the first times I did stand-up. I was opening for a band in this tiny little club in New Hampshire. And the people in the audience were so mean. They were like these drunk guys. Every time I'd say a punchline, they'd go, ha, hilarious.
And you knew that's what you wanted to do. You loved it at that moment. Got to be stand-up. How did you persevere? I mean, how did it stay? You just knew that's what you had to do.
Yeah, I just kept doing it.
Yeah. Does that answer your question, Nick?
And also I have a question about the Andy Milonakis show.
Yeah.
All right.
what made you think of helping to, like, produce, like, what gave you the idea for a show like that?
I just thought Andy was funny, and they fired him on my show, so he was unemployed.
Why'd they fire him?
He's weird and not kind of mainstream, not the sort of thing you'd necessarily see on ABC.
How old is he in real life?
He's 75 years old.
Really?
Yeah,
he looks
he's
12.
A very old man.
Yeah.
How old is he really? Because I've heard a bunch of different stories about how old he is.
He really is 75 years old.
Okay, no. 75. Thanks.
Yeah. And he's ageless. He's like like the sun.
He has a pituitary problem, though.
Something
clearly.
Like that.
Got,
I don't know what the, deal
is. He got Cushing's?
I don't know. It's one of those uncomfortable conversations I've not pressed him on.
Oh, my God.
So,
hey, Jimmy,
how much
do you actually do on that show? Because I watch that thing all the time. I love it.
I'm the executive producer of the show.
He does nothing. I understand. That's what that means.
No,
but
no.
You believed in the kid.
Andy and I came up with the idea of the show, and I pitched it to MTV, and my brother and my other partner's brother and a friend of ours, they actually write the stuff with Andy, and they produce the whole thing. But I go over every show and make notes and all that stuff.
No kidding.
Who are these people?
Give them ideas.
Are these people he finds on the street, like the black guy with the fish and the cigarette in his mouth?
Yeah, these are just neighborhood people on the Lower East Side in New York, just people that live in the building and wander around the streets there.
Is that where he's from, Andy?
He is from upstate New York originally, and he lives in Queens.
What would he be doing for a living if he were not doing this?
He was a computer technician for a business. He's a smart kid.
He's 75, not a kid anymore.
Well, I call everyone kid.
I see, okay. All right, Nick.
Kid Rock is probably pushing 40.
Let's go to line one now. It's Mike, who is 19. Mike?
Yeah.
Hey, what's going on there?
Hey, my question had to do with, like, a young person's erectile issues.
Yes. Yours specifically, I imagine.
Excuse me?
Go ahead.
He has a softening of the bone.
Precisely. Actually, Sarah, I was at the improv last night. You're hilarious.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, you're really funny.
Why am I embarrassed?
Because he heard you say all those dirty words.
Okay, so tell me, what's about, your penis?
Well, I'd been with this girl, and we were trying to have sex, and it was about to happen, and I was ready the entire time. And right when my boxers came off, you know, nothing was going on down there.
Yeah, it becomes somebody else's penis right about then, right?
Is that an issue with just, like...
It's very common. It's anxiety that does that. It's when you're super excited and it's someone you really want to be with and impress, and it's a sort of an anxiety-provoking situation. You're in the back of a car or something, or, you know, somebody's nearby. Yeah. Then forget it, especially first go-around. I suggest you get back at it. Because what?
We both had sex before. It was just our first time, and it was...
But you got to get back at it with her, is what I'm saying, because you need to sort of get back on the horse, lest this becomes a preoccupation. Because next time you're with somebody else, you start thinking, oh my God, it's going to happen again, it'll happen again.
Right. It's like a panic attack. It's like every subsequent panic attack is just that fear of getting one. So.
You're not on medication, are you?
Well, I wasn't. The only thing I was on at the time is I was high, and I didn't know if that had to...
That'll work against... That. I know people claim that it enhances, but it biologically works against you. All right?
Okay.
So do it straight next time, will you?
Yeah, awesome.
All right, good times. All right, Mark, good luck.
Kids and their drugs and their penises.
They're so great.
And then cutting and the sexual abuse.
I'm so glad
America's
I'm not a child
anymore. It's a great country.
I wouldn't trade it.
Jimmy Kimmel, Sarah Silverman joining me here this evening. Jimmy Kimmel Live, ABC, weeknights, 12:05. Adam Carolla, Too Late with Adam Carolla, right now.
On Comedy Central.
On Comedy Central, so set your TiVos and turn that on with the sound off while you're listening to us. Sarah Silverman, Aristocrats, and we'll be back in just a second.
Thank you, Dr. Drew, for having us. Thanks to Sarah Silverman, Aristocrats, movie in theaters now. Watch us in the Comedy Central roast of Pamela Anderson.
Oh, we didn't mention
that. That's going to be
good. Dr. Drew on
right.
the Discovery Health Network.
That's
he's right. not allowed to say the word penis.
I'm not. I'm not allowed to say the word breast.
No.
I was interviewing someone in the street, and he said, hell no. And they go, stop tape. No. Happy heck no.
Wow.
Yeah.
Terrific.
Yeah, good times.
Good times indeed.
This is great.
What's coming to?
Just like Europe.
That's right. Liberated. Well, guys, I appreciate you coming in and helping out while Adam's out working on Too Late with Adam Carolla, which is just wrapping up right now. Set your TiVos for his show. It follows Jon Stewart, Daily Show. And I guess that's about all we got to say tonight, right?
Yeah, that's all I have to say. I didn't really have anything to say when I came in.
Well, you guys were great if that was nothing to say.
I have not even
closed
started.
By saying,
next week, Jared, is he pronounced name Leto? Leto from, you remember him from, what was that show? They were on the
My So-Called Life.
He's now 32nd to Mars. Bob Saget to talk more about the Aristocrats. Howie Mandel to talk about the Aristocrats next week. A little thanks where thanks is due. And I thank Anne, Michelle, Lauren, Anderson, Patricia. Who am I leaving out?
I'm fired, though.
What?
I should be fired, though, says Jimmy.
Well, if Jimmy, definitely. He said if he were in charge, he'd definitely
Anderson,
fire you.
The
Jimmy,
momentum
you and I
killer.
Would love each other if you worked here.
Because you wouldn't work here if I worked here. You
no,
would
but
be
I would.
Homeless.
He likes you.
I
he
am homeless,
you.
Actually.
Oh, nice.
Sounds like you're eating, too, by the way.
Get into that later, guys. All right. And this is Dr. Drew on behalf of Adam Carolla saying mahalo.
Huh?
This has been Loveline. Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.